And the reading based on the sermon will be from Mark chapter 4, verses 1 to 20. The parable of the sower. And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up, and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit, that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately, and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Amen. Well, I asked the Lord what he would have us to hear, and I believe he gave me this parable, the parable of the sower. And the parable of the sower teaches us four things that can happen when people hear the word of God. And it's vital because we can examine ourselves by this parable. And secondly, we can know what to expect when other people hear the word. So first, let's look at the parable itself. And of course, we know that a parable is an earthly illustration of a spiritual truth. And Jesus often likened or compared the kingdom to something. And of course, in this case, the parable of the sower is an earthly illustration of spiritual truths. And so the parable opens up in verse 3. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. Jesus wants our attention. Hearken. Behold, there went out a sower to sow. Jesus begins by telling us this parable of a sower that went out to sow. In other words, a man that went to sow seed in the ground. Jesus then proceeds to speak of four kinds of ground where the seed fell. He tells us that as the man sowed, some of the seeds fell by the wayside. Some of the seeds fell on stony ground. Some of the seeds fell among thorns. And some of the seeds fell on good ground. So let's continue to look through the parable to see what it says. In verse 4, and it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Just notice here that the seed fell by the wayside. And of course, the wayside is the side of the way, the side of a path or a road. It's an open place which is by the way to somewhere. This is where the seed landed. And of course, the seed having landed here, the fowls of the air, or the birds, devoured up the seed. The second thing Jesus says in verses 5 to 6, and some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. Just notice some things here in the illustration. The seed fell on stony ground. And stony ground, of course, doesn't have deepness of earth. So the seed doesn't take root in stony ground. And because the stony ground didn't have any deepness of earth, the seed immediately sprouted up. And because it had no root, when the sun was up, it was scorched. It lacked moisture, and ultimately it withered away, it dried up. Thirdly, in verse 7, Jesus says of the third kind of ground, and some fell among thorns. And the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And of course, a seed that sprouts up amongst thorns, the thorns will very quickly entangle what sprouted and ultimately choke it. And of course, again, the seed doesn't bring forth fruit. And fourthly, in verses 8, and other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And of course, this is the only seed of the four that bore fruit. It was on good ground. And then Jesus closes the parable with this interesting statement. And he said unto them, in verse 9, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And of course, by this statement here, Jesus doesn't just mean to physically hear what's being said, but also to hear spiritually. For we're told in Corinthians that the word, the scriptures are spiritually discerned. And Jesus' words are spirit and life. And so when Jesus was alone with the 12, and there were others with them, they asked of Jesus the parable. And Jesus said this in verses 10 to 13, and when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. See, it was given to Jesus' disciples, and of course by extension us, to know the mystery of the kingdom. But to those outside of it, he spoke in parables, so that they would see physically, but not perceive, hear and not understand. It was hidden from them because they'd rejected him, which was prophesied by Isaiah. And then Jesus poses a question to them. In verse 13 he says, "And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? How then will ye know all parables?" And it turns out when you make a study of this parable and then you look at the other parables in light of this one, that you discover that that parable explains the meanings in the other parable. So what was Jesus teaching us by this parable, the parable of the sower? Well, let's now look at Jesus' declaration of it. And what we'll do is we'll look at his declaration in Mark, but we'll also enlighten it further from the other two accounts in Matthew and Luke and get a full picture of what Jesus is saying. So he opens up in verse 14 with the declaration of the parable. The sower soweth the word. So let's look at this to begin with. The man, which is the sower, first and foremost is Christ himself. And the seed that Christ sows is the word of God. And we read frequently throughout the four gospel accounts that Christ preached the word. For example, in Mark chapter 4 verse 33, it says, "And with many such parables spake he the word unto them as they were able to hear it." And of course, since Christ's death, resurrection and ascension, he continues to speak his word by his spirit through his church. Hence we are called to preach the gospel. And shortly before Jesus ascended into heaven, he told the apostles that they are witnesses of his death and resurrection, and that they are to wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Spirit. Let's just read the passage in Luke. Luke chapter 24 verses 24, I'll just find that. Luke chapter 24 verses from verse 45 to 49. "Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." And of course we read, don't we, in Acts chapter 2, that on the day of Pentecost they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and ultimately empowered to preach the gospel. So the seed continues to be sown. Christ by his Spirit through the church. And we read an actual description of this in Acts chapter 4 verse 31. "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." And of course in Acts chapter 8 we read of the church having been scattered through persecution, preaching the word. In verses 3 to 4, "As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and hauling men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." So we see that as a church, ministers in particular are to preach the word, But it's not refined only to the ministers, because we as a church are a holy priesthood, and we all have a function in his body. Just as the body has different functions, the fingers, the hands, the feet, the knees, everything. Everything supplies and works in its own particular way. So it is with the body of Christ, the church. We all have a particular function. We all have at least one gift that God has given to us. And part of the big discovery in life is discovering what that gift is. And he gives more than one, because he's a generous God. And so, let's come to the four kinds of ground. When the word of God is preached, the word is sown in the hearts of all that hear the word. And just as there are four kinds of ground which the seed falls on, so there are four conditions of the heart on which the word of God is sown. So let's look at these four kinds of ground. We can see why not only does this inform us of why other people may respond the way they do to the gospel, but it also helps us to examine ourselves. How are we responding when we hear the gospel? So it's a healthy examination. As we know, all things are given to us for edification. And so it says in verse 15, "And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts." So notice first of all that they hear the word, but they don't understand. They don't understand the word. And that's a vulnerable situation to be in straight away. And no sooner than they don't understand it comes the devil and takes away the word out of their hearts. The devil takes away the word out of the heart in case they believe and are saved. It's a terrible thing, really. They heard the word, but they didn't understand it. Now, Jesus had something to say about this in Matthew 13, verses 11 to 17. This is what Jesus says. "He answered and said unto them, Because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, they should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them." We are very privileged to have the word of the Lord to us. And such is the condition of heart of those that hear the word and don't understand. It says their heart has waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes have been closed. The people didn't believe the word which was spoken to them. And this is the terrible reality of unbelief and willful ignorance. And we read that men love darkness rather than light. And to come into the light can be an uncomfortable experience, because when we come into the light of the word of God, it exposes a sin which is in us. We only have to read the law of God to see a reflection of our true selves and where we're really at. And it's an uncomfortable experience. And to hide in the dark and to turn a blind eye to it and to be in a state of willful ignorance feels a lot safer. To have to acknowledge the sin that's in us and to come before God and say, I need help, is a frightening place to be on the one hand. But of course, on the other hand, the love of sin keeps many from coming to Jesus because they enjoy the pleasures of sin, which of course we know only lasts for a season. And furthermore, they're not to be compared to the blessings and joy of the Lord, which is our strength. But this is the state of those who hear the word and don't understand. There's a willful rejection of it. And the parable, of course, goes on to tell us that since they've heard the word and don't understand it, that the fowls of the air, which spiritually is Satan, comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. And we remember that one of the titles of the devil in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 2 is the prince of the power of the air. And these sort of unclean birds typify the devil and of course devils. And as I say, we only have to look at some of the other parables which also refer to the fowls. See, we understand from one parable what another parable means. And so they stole the word. Satan steals the word from those that have heard and not understood it. And they are in the same state at which they were at the beginning. And what does it say of Satan? In John chapter 10 verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. He is our enemy. And he's against the promises of God. He's against salvation in Christ. He's against the soul coming to Jesus. And he'll do anything in his power to distract, to get that person not to come to Jesus. And I've seen people who've initially taken interest and things have come their way that have distracted them away from it. And it's a painful thing to see. And that's how crafty the devil is. Jesus says we must be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So we need to know the enemy and the way that he works. We're not to be ignorant of his devices. And so he comes to steal, kill and destroy. He steals the word from their hearts. And then it goes on to say in verses 16 to 17... And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. So initially, the response of the hearers on stony ground seems more promising at first. They hear the word of God. Secondly, they immediately receive it with joy. And I'm sure we've seen this before in day-to-day life, especially in the life of the church. They hear the word and they immediately receive it with joy. And they believe for a while. But when tribulation or affliction or persecution or temptation arises because of the word, they're offended and fall away. They hear the word. It seems promising at first. They receive it with joy, but it hasn't taken root in them. We see that on stony ground, there's not much depth of earth. There's no deepness there for the seed to take root. And as a result of this, when it sprouts, it comes up very quickly. It's there. And that's like those who hear the word
and they receive it with joy. They're full of excitement and passion at the beginning, and it looks good. But it hasn't taken root in them. It was stony ground. And of course, as the sun comes up and scorches the seed, that which is sprouted, so it is that when such hear the word, they immediately receive it with joy. But when persecution and temptation come their way, they're offended and they leave. They depart from God. They turn their back on him. And I've heard people sometimes say this, that they were once a Christian. In fact, I know somebody at work who told me this once some years ago, that they were a Christian and they were in the church and something terrible happened in the family and he walked away. And we have to look at it through Jesus' eyes. How does Jesus feel about that? Well, we only have to think about the rich young ruler that came to Jesus and couldn't part with his money to follow the Lord. And so it must grieve the Lord when such takes place, when people leave. And this is, unfortunately, the response of those on stony ground. They hear the word, but when trouble comes their way, that initial excitement that they had was only ultimately superficial. It was only a surface. And that again is something for us to remember. Sometimes we can be caught up in things, and sometimes it can be a good thing if we're caught up by the Spirit, if we worship God in spirit and in truth. But we must always seek that we draw close to Jesus, not just with our mouths, but with our hearts, that we really love him, that we really admire him, and that we really want to be with him. And one of the signs that we really love Jesus is that we love his people and we want to be with his people. And so, coming to the third ground, verses 18 to 19, it says, "And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful." And I see this as one of the very great dangers that we, especially in the West, face today as a church. Notice some things here. They hear the word of God, but then the cares, riches and pleasures of this life enter in and choke the word. And so they don't bring forth any fruit. And notice again, they hear the word as the previous did. Those by the wayside and those on stony ground heard. They all heard. They all heard the word. But these among thorns, the word was choked in their heart by the love of this world and the things in it. And in a worldly aspect, the world does have a lot to offer. It has a lot to distract us by, to draw us away from our attention to Jesus. And sometimes we can become Sunday Christians. We're here, and then when Monday morning comes and we're back in the world again, it can be difficult sometimes not to be distracted by the things in this world. And I always find that every Sunday, it's a strength, because we come together as a church. And it says in Hebrews not to forsake the gathering together. And it's like coal and fire. When all the coals are in the fire together and they're blowing hot, they stay hot. But take a coal out of the fire and put it on its own and it starts to lose its heat. And that can be like us. This is why our gathering together is so important, that we keep each other on fire for Jesus. It says in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." The love of this thing, of this world, and the things in it will choke the word that's been planted, that's been sown in our hearts. Our worldly heart is a ground of thorns. And sadly, we read this of many of the children of Israel, which were redeemed out of Egypt. It says of them in verse 39 of Acts chapter 7, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back into Egypt. Jesus said to remember Lot's wife. She looked back. We're not to look back. When we were baptized into Christ, we were baptized into his body. We've died to this world. When we had our baptism, that was our funeral. We died to this world, we died to self, we were crucified with Christ, and we're going on following Jesus, walking the narrow way. Don't look back. Remember Lot's wife. Take these things of Israel, those that turn back, for an example. Don't turn back. Don't look back. Press on toward the mark. We even read of false teachers in the church, whom it is written in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 19 to 22, that after having escaped the pollutions of the world, they are again entangled in them and overcome. Entangled. Again, this speaks of the thorns. It says, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same as he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog has turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. What a picture that is of those that escape but then become entangled again in the things of this world. Let's not look back but keep looking forward. And this, of course, these false prophets, just as they were there amongst Israel and stumbled many and caused them to sin, so it is with false teachers in the churches today. And we see this, especially in many churches that have this great emphasis on preaching a gospel of money, a prosperity gospel. And there seems to be this worldly emphasis on turning back and looking at Egypt. There's nothing wrong with money in and of itself, and we can be good stewards of it, but the love of money is the root of all evil. And we see that just as there were false prophets amongst Israel, so there are false teachers amongst us. Those among the thorns, they hear the word, but it becomes choked in their hearts by their love of this world and the things of it. And I'm sure we've also seen this before. Maybe it was a friend or a family or someone we knew, we met, a stranger, that they once loved Jesus, or they, at least they made a profession of faith, but then they became distracted by the things of this world. And in all this, we must remember that Jesus goes after the lost sheep. He looks for those who go astray. He leaves the 99 and goes after the one. And so we come to the good news here in Mark chapter 4 verse 20. We come to the fourth ground. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. What a beautiful passage that is. They hear the word. They receive it. They understand it. And in an honest and good heart, keep it. And what's the result? They bring forth fruit with patience. And we know sometimes our faith is tested that we might grow in patience. We read that in James. But again, we must keep looking to Jesus. And so, like those who were on the wayside and the stony ground and the thorns, these hear the word, but they receive it and understand it and keep it, and they bear fruit. So we're not to be hearers only, but doers of the word. We're to be hearers and doers. And James sums it up for us in chapter 1, verses 21 to 25. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man, beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth away, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. We're not to hear the word only, but to be doers of the word. To be doers of the word. James says here that if we hear the word, but we don't do it, we're deceiving our own selves. It's like looking into a mirror and seeing our own reflection. We see things that are not perfect. Maybe it's something on our face, or maybe it's the hair, or it's some other aspect of our features. But if we see that, and then turn away from that mirror and forget all about it, it's done us no good. But if we respond as we ought to what we see in that reflection, then we're acting upon the word. And it's the same when we read the Bible. When we read the Bible is reading us. And it's exposing to us things that are not right in our life. And if we recognise that, that's a positive thing. The Lord is working on us. The Holy Spirit is guiding us. And he's opening our eyes to ourselves. And Jesus, who is the word made flesh, is perfect fulfillment of that word. And the more conformed to the word we are, the more like Jesus will become. Until one day we see him face to face and we're just like him, because we shall see him as he is. And notice it says here that the engrafted word is able to save our souls. And it's by the word of God that we're born again. It says this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. We're born again of incorruptible seed. This is marvellous. And having been saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus, we are to bear the fruit of good works. We're to bear the fruit of repentance. We're not saved by good works, but we are saved for good works. And good works should result having believed upon Jesus. And in Colossians, we read how Paul and Timotheus gave thanks to God, because since the day the church at Colossae heard the gospel, it was bringing forth fruit in them. And of course, Paul and Timotheus prayed for the church and desired that the church might be fruitful in every good work, so we are to bear fruit. May we be like those that are on good ground, so we can examine ourselves and see, are we on the good ground? Hear the word of God, receive it, understand it, and in an honest and good heart, keep it and bring forth fruit to patience. And so, in conclusion, firstly, I want to point this out. Whereas the devil comes to steal, kill and destroy, we see that with those that are on the wayside. Christ, on the other hand, has come that we might have life abundantly. Secondly, whereas trials and temptations cause suffering and many to be offended and fall away, Christ, on the other hand, has forewarned us of suffering that we should not be offended. And that's in John 16. And of course we know that Christ suffered also, being tempted in all points like as we, yet he is without sin and is in heaven on our behalf. And when we come into trouble or trials, we can turn to Jesus. We can come before the throne of grace for help in time of need. And thirdly, whereas the love of this world and the things that have entered into the heart and entangle it, and many fall away, on the other hand, Christ has overcome the world, and our faith in him is the victory that overcomes the world. We see that in John, and also 1 John. And so, John 15:1-8, we learn that our Heavenly Father desires that we bear much fruit. The Father is glorified if we bear much fruit. But we can only bear fruit if we abide in Christ. If we abide in Christ and he and his words abide in us. And let me close with this passage from Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Jesus has called us to be his church, and we need to strengthen each other in the word, encourage each other, ask the Lord to give us words for each other from his word, that we might be built up and strengthened, and that we might be able to witness faithfully to this unbelieving world. Amen.